Welcome to this third podcast of Raising Young Entrepreneurs with Shanae de Guevara. She's the principal of Radley Primary School. And we are talking about how to ensure your child has the highest possibility of becoming an entrepreneur, successful entrepreneur, or intrapreneurial if they're going to be working in a corporate environment. We are talking today about networking and relationship building. And that is important for us as entrepreneurs, but it's something that we can actually start to stimulate in our children from a young age. Welcome back, Shanae.
Thank you.
Right, so we're talking about networking. Now, I do a lot of networking, and networking, from my perspective, is organic, but it's purposeful. So you go to an event, you don't talk too much about yourself, you listen to other people, you have the courage to exchange business cards or details, and then you follow up. And you are quite open about it in terms of the fact that it might not precipitate something in the next week or the next month, but only have relevance in a year.
Yes.
How do you get such a large concept into the mind of a child?
Yeah, so for a young child, I think the easiest way to break that concept down is to explain it's making friends or making connections. Mm-hmm. And you start with the process of relationship building from young. It's so important to teach young children about social skills. And you mentioned the listening skills, that you have to listen, because a lot of the children don't know that their body language can convey whether they're actually listening or not. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that you teach young children is an introduction. Mm-hmm. They have to introduce themselves wherever they go. If they're with their parents, they say, "Here's my son." They need to be able to just practice or know of an introduction to introduce themselves to other people. So just a basic, "Hello, my name is Johnny and I'm an entrepreneur at Radley." There's already just a conversation starting point is, "Oh, an entrepreneur at Radley." Yeah. How does that work? And then, so there's a conversation start. It's just putting down a basic introduction and memorizing it so that you have the confidence to be able to introduce yourself to anyone that you meet. So that's step number one. Step number two is obviously listening skills. They need to actively listen. And I know a lot of young children, they don't pay attention or they're listening, but they're distracted with something else. So they have to learn that they must look at someone, give them eye contact, nod, acknowledge what they're saying, and listen, be quiet, and then ask questions. So let them speak and then ask questions. Now, you're already giving the other person this idea of they're trusting what I'm, what I'm saying, they're listening, they're understanding, they have my full attention. So that's number two. The third one is that you need to explain to young children why we build relationships. So you do get children that are introverts and they don't want to, they're not outgoing, they're not easy to just walk up to people. So the concept of building relationships gives them access to resources, and support and collaboration. So even in a school space, when they're put into group work, there's often that one child who doesn't really participate, who's an outsider. So if you are that child's parent, you need to encourage them to ask questions, to listen, to get involved, no matter how shy or, introverted they are. They need to be able to take that step. And it will take time. They have to get used to it. So the best way to practice is role play with each other. So as a parent and your child, you sit down and dad can start and say, "Hello, my name is whoever, and this is what I do." And then, child must listen and then be able to ask questions and think of questions. They need to try to find a link that links the two of them. So an interest. So in a child space, it could be a PlayStation game or favorite color or, what pets do you have? Then they have this link and they start to build that relationship based on what the similarity is between the two of them.
It's interesting you say that. I have two boys. They're now young adults. One's still at school, but the other's second year university. Both very confident young men. And what I used as a mechanism to train them on how to network was making sure that they were at the dinner table when we had adult guests. So let's categorize it into two categories. One category was friends, and the other category was business colleagues. So if I had people coming over for dinner who were business colleagues, or I was trying to do work with them, or I was doing work with them, I would ensure that they were at the table. If we had friends over for lunch or dinner, I'd ensure that the boys were at the table. And I used to deal with each, I still do, because they still come for dinner. I deal with each situation slightly differently. If I was having somebody over for dinner, I had somebody coming over from Cote d'Ivoire. I had both boys then research Cote d'Ivoire and made sure that they understood Cote d'Ivoire and understood its politics, what was going on. They would read up on it. And then I would ask them to prepare some questions that they were authentically interested in, not just to make up a question so that they could brag. Because there's a fine line when you're asking questions to brag, right? So I'd say, okay, what don't you understand about what's going on? And they wouldn't understand based on their age as well. So at the dinner table, they would be prepared and say, okay, I know that, there's been a lot of political turmoil in maybe they didn't use turmoil, but there's been some issues in Cote d'Ivoire. Is it still like that? You know, like maybe it's a simple way to ask.
Yeah.
And then they would have a conversation. And then at the end of the evening, I would say, well, what did you learn? And every time, even when we went out to other people for dinner, what did you learn? What did you learn? So they were conscious that they had to listen. Because otherwise they might just blankly listen as somebody. Kids do that.
Yes,
they blankly listen. They're not actually taking it in.
They're just sitting.
They're just hearing.
Yes, yeah.
But now they know I'm going to ask them questions. So I activate them to be listening properly because they know there's a test, on the way back from dinner.
Yes, thank you. That's a lovely example. Another good example is, or focus point, is exposure. So parents need to model their behavior themselves. Because children do observe and they need to see the interactions between what is going on. So parents taking them out to social gatherings, family gatherings, clubs, or, even church gatherings. It's that constant exposure to being around other people and not necessarily people that they know, and then being able to listen and give feedback. Another important thing that the children need to know is that building relationships does require giving. And not necessarily instant receiving. So they could offer support or resources to a friend of theirs and expect an immediate, you're going to get something back now. But it doesn't happen like that. So they could offer assistance with the project, and then that child might only be able to return the favor or give that child support maybe 2 years from now, or, when they're in the matric
year.
Or never. Yeah. So they need to understand that relationships are giving and receiving, but sometimes you never receive back. Another important concept that children need to learn is empathy and the ability to understand what people are saying and try to put themselves into that position. So listening is crucial when it comes to building relationships.
So how do you actually do that in a practical way? To create empathy or to train empathy?
So listening, number one, they have to listen to the reasoning behind their stories. And we'll talk about storytelling now as well, because that's another important aspect of building relationships. But being able to listen and try and put themselves in that situation, that's when they understand more what somebody is going through, is when they try to imagine themselves in that person's position. And how would they feel?
But what is the parent's role in doing that? In actually creating a child that is more confident at networking and relationship building? We've spoken about listening skills. And I spoke about actually asking the kids questions afterwards to ensure that there was an inverted commas test for listening, and that you get them used to that and being prepared to be in a networking environment. You also spoke about the fact that they could have basic introduction skills. My name is whatever, and I'm an entrepreneur at Radley. Okay. We've spoken about the empathy, learning empathy. And we've spoken about how we need to role play that by us being empathetic, but also asking the question, how would you feel in that situation? How would you respond in that situation? So how else can we train our kids to be better at networking and more proficient at it in both its organic and its technical requirements? In other words, I now have to ask for somebody's details.
Mm.
Okay. I want to get to that point because we've got to relationship building.
Yeah.
But now, can I have your details?
Mm. Yeah. So parents need to encourage their children to stay in contact with them, because once you meet somebody, you have to maintain that relationship. Mm-hmm. You can't just move on.
Yes.
So it is a matter of exchanging cell phone numbers, or parents, you know, giving them their cell phone numbers, and then in a week's time, checking in. So, hi friend, I met you last week, Saturday, at the community events market day.
Mm.
How are you doing? How's things at school? How did it go with, you know, whatever you were busy with? So it's just that checking in, and then the person feels heard, seen. You're asking questions on what I told you about. So that's, you know, that's that constant just reinforcing and fostering the relationship.
I find today that through social media, I know that when we take our kids overseas on holidays, they meet other kids at a hotel or a resort, that they years later are still in contact with those kids because they've connected with them on Instagram or some social media platform, and they've been communicating for years. And all of a sudden, 5 years later, they say, oh, I'm speaking to so-and-so who we met, they were from America, and or so-and-so is here from, literally yesterday, somebody arrived from France who we met 5 or 6 years ago, came to South Africa and made contact with my kids to say I'm here in South Africa and met up with them for lunch.
Mm.
And so, you know, the kids have got a mechanism through social media now to keep in contact anyway, and they see each other's lives.
Yes, yeah. It's just in younger children, obviously that needs to be monitored, because
yes,
the younger children are still, you know, very new to online platforms and how to use them responsibly. From grade 9 onwards, that communication between the two individuals can continue without, you know, the supervision of parents. Whereas the younger children, they will need to be monitored in the way that they communicate and what they're communicating.
There's a possible downside to all of this, which is that you condition your kids to make a lot of superficial relationships, that they're inauthentic, and there's a lot of them. So I've got lots and lots of friends, like I've got 1,000 friends, but I haven't got really one real friend or one real relationship. So it could move to becoming a whole thing about quantity and not quality. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I definitely agree. So they need to understand that quality means they add value. So are you friends with somebody who adds value and who supports you and who, you know, is there for you, or are they just a number on your list? So they need to distinguish whether these friends are important and add value, or whether these relationships, they don't serve a purpose.
Yeah, I like the point of value exchange, but what's missing from what you're saying to me is that I also need to add value, right?
Definitely.
I also have to be a potential value add to the other person now or in the future. It can't all be about me, me, me.
Yes, agreed. So that's why earlier we mentioned the giving and receiving.
Yeah.
So they have to be able to give and not necessarily receive, but they must add value in some way. It could just be motivation, encouragement, support. It doesn't need to be a physical...
Or just friendship.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so that to me means that we are quantifying a relationship. So when you're younger, you have best friends, and best friends are people that you hang out with, or you have a good time with, or are supportive, or there's your wing person, you know, that you go out with. But the underlying transaction is that we support one another, and there's value exchange on an ongoing basis between the two of us. You might just be supporting me and encouraging me, and I make you laugh. You might be the person who introduces me to the girls, but I might be the person helping you with your homework. So there's always this value exchange going on, and sometimes it's not at the same time. It could be into the future. So you're making them conscious of their role as well in that value exchange. It can't just be take, take, take. It's also, what are you providing to these individuals? And if that it's a take, 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 it's also not valuable.
Yeah, it's not.
So earlier you said you were going to talk about storytelling, the importance of storytelling.
Yes, thank you for bringing that up again. So storytelling is an important factor, not just as children grow up, but as they go into becoming an entrepreneur, that ability to tell stories that captivates, you know, the listener. So during the networking and the building relationships in the younger ages, they need to be able to give detail, but not too much detail, but also, again, that empathy card being pulled in there so that they can make their listener understand what it's like to be in a certain situation.
You know, on that, I have observed that people who are good at telling jokes, which are effectively storytelling, are generally become better at interpersonal relationships and generally become better entrepreneurs. And so it's even the joke telling, which is a small micro story with a different ending, is a good way to train kids on storytelling. So go research some jokes and come tell us some jokes.
I love the joke as an example. It's such a great way to capture your listeners' attention, and then there's a punchline, and it's also a great conversation, so they can laugh about it and then say, yeah, but really? And then, you know, you get to the actual detail about what you just mentioned.
Before we finish, I just want to better understand how we can practically bring in authenticity into training our kids to become better at networking and relationship building. What are the things that we can practically do to ensure that it isn't that numbers thing and that there are genuine relationships built between kids and your children and adults who are within their environment?
The most important thing is to teach your child is to be genuine. Be themselves. So they need to also have self-worth and accept who they are, but they need to be genuine. Talk about their own interests, not what they think they want to hear, but what they actually are interested in. Parents need to continuously ask their children, what are your interests? Who are you as a person? Are you a kind person? Are you nurturing? So that they understand that the person that they are portraying is who they really are, not just some made-up fantasy person who they would like to be one day.
That's a great point. And I see that with entrepreneurs, you know, who are adults, where the ones that are authentic tend to do far better than the ones that are superficial. And you can see through those individuals. And that's about understanding who you are, even if they are not socially appropriate, that you might be a little quirky, but you embrace your quirkiness and say, well, this is my quirkiness and this is who I am. There's an authenticity in that. So making your kids comfortable in their difference as young kids growing up into teens as well, then reinforcing that as part of their genuine self.
Yes, and being able to say, this is who I am. I'm not really interested in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good place to end. Could you tell us what we can look forward to in the next podcast?
In the next episode, we're going to be focusing on nurturing self-confidence, self-esteem, and self-worth.
Thanks, Shanae. I really enjoyed today's session, and I'm sure you did too. See you in the next one.